Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies. And this week, we just watched a trailer.
We warmed up. We warmed up for the show. You know, we started the show. We got here. We were ready to record the magical studio in the sky. And I'm like, you know, I don't have anything, you know, incendiary to say. I don't have anything inappropriate. And Neil's like, neither do I. I'm like, this is going to be a boring show. Then we watched the trailer.
Then we watched the trailer for one of the movies that's coming out. Then neither one of us saw. It's the only one that neither one of us saw.
But right? They screened it.
They screened it. We just had a little conflict.
There's so many movies coming out right now. They're like, it's like, I think, 36 movies a week.
Right. We didn't want to miss the important ones, so we missed this one. Yes. So, but before we get to that, let's talk about how you can get a hold of us. You can go to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also go to iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies, the iTunes store. And you can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. We'll be checking the voicemail later in the show here.
Did we get any this week?
That's
or
why
is that what you mean we'll be checking
it later in the show?
Over a break.
During the break.
We didn't get any emails this time. Did Mr. Alien
No, we got one. Really? Hold on.
We'll look for that in the break.
I will look that up. But let's talk about this.
Did we get any more? We got to check. I am most concerned about that guy who has diabetes. Who wasn't going to the VA hospital last week, and they kept calling our number to remind him to show up.
Right.
He's probably dead somewhere. He's probably in insulin shock.
I feel bad about that. So. I don't know what to do, though, because we don't know him.
No, we don't.
There's no way for us to get in contact with him.
He's probably some listener who wrote the wrong thing down.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, we did get an email. We got a really good email.
Okay, do we have it?
I do.
Okay.
It's short enough to read.
Awesome.
Do you want me to read it now? Or
does it have profanity in it?
I don't think so.
If it has profanity, wait till the internet-only segment.
Oh, no. I don't think this one has profanity in it.
All right. Is it a good one?
Yeah, it's a really good one.
All right, let's hear it.
It's from Andy, and he writes in. He says, hey, guys, in July I had surgery and was stuck on the couch for 2 weeks. Bored of television, I decided to download a couple of podcasts, and one I downloaded was Fat Guys the Movies.
Rock on.
Fantastic choice,
I
might add.
We have a healing power about us.
Yep. He says, I was admittedly hooked and have listened to your podcasts every week. You guys are like the odd couple of film critics.
What does that mean?
You can use
who's Felix and who's Oscar? That's what I want to know.
He also said we can use that as a quote on our homepage, which we might. You never know.
I have a feeling that I am the I'm the slob.
Yes. Agreed. He says, and by the way, I haven't been offended yet. Beavis and Towelhead would be a great show. Probably because I watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Keep up the good work.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. Is he from California? Everyone else is.
I don't know. He didn't say.
We have no listeners in, like, Kansas.
I bet we do.
Probably somewhere.
I don't know. But yeah, thanks for the email.
We don't have anyone listening in the Middle East after that whole Towelhead discussion a couple of weeks ago.
That was last week, wasn't it?
We're recording a movie. That wasn't a racist term.
No, it's a real movie. It came out. Aaron Eckhart was actually, he did a very funny interview the other night on The Daily Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we are not having a Don Imus moment.
Nope.
But
let's
push ahead and see if we can have a Don Imus moment.
Especially with this next movie.
This new movie. Do you want me to introduce it?
Absolutely.
It's The Lucky Ones. Woohoo! Another Iraqi war movie that nobody cares about.
I will remember you.
Why are you going to Vegas?
My friend's from there. That's his guitar. He got killed, so I'm just taking it back to his family.
It's a real nice thing to be doing.
Big mess over there, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. It's a war. War is messy. You can't be all perfect.
All I want to do is get back to my wife and kid.
You're home.
Fred, you're not going to like this.
Listen, we're going to keep it together. We're going to stay calm.
So earlier in the show...
Can I correct you for a second? It's not the Iraqi war. It's the Iraq war.
Whatever.
Iraqis are people that live there. The war is something that's happening there.
Okay.
Thank you. I just thought I'd point that out. You wrote Iraqi.
Well, okay. And I read Iraqi.
I know.
Maybe I was just being cute. I wasn't talking about the people. You know how people like go, I just want to take a little nappy poo?
Oh.
This is about the Iraqi poo war.
The Iraqi poo war. Well, I agree with the poo part.
Okay.
We just watched the trailer for this one before the show.
What are your thoughts? I want to know because this is the thing. I've heard it pitched as sort of like Grace Is Gone, and you love that movie, and I hated that movie.
So well, I like Grace Is Gone, but this one feels more like Home of the Brave.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have 50 Cent in it. It's got Michael Pena.
Yeah, well, Michael Payne is a far better actor.
So, I mean, there's upside there. It's got a decent cast. Yeah, Michael Payne, Rachel McAdams, who I mistook for Piper Perabo in the first, like,
okay,
scene.
I'll give you that.
Because they're both hot, obviously.
Well, and she's making herself look very...
Right, very plain.
Tomboyish.
You know, and it's... I'm totally... You know, I had a girlfriend, a girl that I dated... Who went to the war and came back, and you
in
know,
quotes, girl.
So she was a real girl. So you know, I get that whole coming home from Iraq and the difficulties that you have, and I've actually lived through that. So, you know, I understand that in a real life situation, but Hollywood's translation is a little off, I guess.
This one
just looks stupid.
This movie just looks like. It's trying so hard, and it reminds me of a lot of the other movies about the war where they're like trying to deal with issues that really I don't think the country's wanting to deal with. I mean, maybe 10 years after everything's all done there and everyone's pulled out and all that kind of thing.
But I mean, there's actually a couple of decent Iraq war movies coming out. You got Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker, which looks really good. Yeah. And you got Body of Lies, which is about terrorism. But those are action movies.
Well, see, here's the difference. And even if you look at like all the movies about the Vietnam War that came out 10, 15, 20 years after the Vietnam, you know, like Platoon was the first, was kind of like the big, obviously... Apocalypse Now was the big one. But even Apocalypse Now.
Full Metal Jacket, obviously.
These were movies about the people in the you-know-what. These were the people in the thick of it.
Yeah.
It was, there, with the exception of like something like Born on the 4th of July, you didn't have a whole lot of movies about people coming home and dealing with it. And even then, if you look at the movies from the Vietnam War movie era, you had stuff like In Country, with Bruce Willis, that nobody went to go see. In general, these movies of people coming home and having to deal with it are not movies that interest people ever. They want to see the movies about the war, and they're really not doing movies about the war. They're doing movies
because
they're trying to make the political statement.
So, but I will say, though, that at the beginning of the trailer for this movie, I thought it was going to be like Final Destination because they were on a plane talking about plane going down.
Yeah.
And then Sarah McLachlan starts playing
in the
music, and it lost me.
It's bad.
So
I'm going to say, I can't say preemptive suck, but I'm probably saying I would think it would suck.
There's no way it can rock.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of suck at least.
We're running up against the break though. So let's,
we
let's
are. I was
going to
say we should talk about Knights in Rodanthe.
Okay.
If you want. I don't know.
I saw it. Diane Lane and Richard Gere fall in love over a weekend with a hurricane in this new romance by the writer of The Notebook.
When do the guests arrive?
Guests mean one tonight.
Have fun for the both of us.
Four nights, leaving Tuesday.
Dinner is 7:30 if you prefer, because you are
the only guest.
Something wrong with your table?
Didn't want to eat alone.
Oh, well, you didn't come here for the beach.
No, I came here to talk to somebody.
Must have been very hurtful for you to be held responsible.
Well, we only have like 30 seconds here.
Yeah,
I
you
saw
have 30
this,
seconds.
The most boring movie ever this year.
I heard it was pretty absurd. And I
ridiculous.
Think that's going to be the word of the week.
And, you know, there are people who are bawling and crying, and it was all...
And it was you.
And it wasn't me, because they're having, like, love letters, and they're quoting it, and I'm just rolling my eyes.
So it wasn't like The Notebook, where everyone cried?
I never saw The Notebook. And after seeing this movie, I don't want to see The Notebook. This movie sucked, and it sucked harder than anything I've ever seen Diane Lane in before.
And with that, it's time to go to a break. And I believe we ended that last segment on a very positive note.
Well, okay.
What was the direct quote, the poster quote from Kevin Carr is, this sucks worse, sucks harder than any other Diane Lane movie ever.
Yeah, and I love Diane Lane.
I loved her in Unfaithful.
Yeah.
She was really good in that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I haven't seen that, although I have seen screen captures of that. Let's
if
put
you've
it that
seen
way.
That one scene in the hallway, you've seen what you need to see out of that movie. No, that also had Richard Gere in it.
Knights at Rodanthe was just so boring.
It's Nicholas Sparks. What do you expect?
So boring.
Although The Notebook was really good. I don't,
and totally predictable.
Do you hear that Nicholas Sparks is going to write a movie for Miley Cyrus for Disney?
Oh.
Like, so that Miley Cyrus can have a lead
role.
So
who dies like in that movie? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. hopefully Nicholas Sparks. But
all right, let's move
anyways,
on.
Moving on. Speaking of death and destruction and people dying and stuff,
that would fall into the realm of death.
We've got Spike Lee's new movie, Miracle at St. Anna. In this one, Mr. Lee directs the story of four African-American soldiers in World War II that end up behind enemy lines protecting a strange Italian child.
Americani.
We are Italians.
You got a boy that needs help. I don't know how the hell we got past German lines, but we're surrounded.
You ain't got to be scared. Feel that magic. All you got to do is believe in it.
So, do we want to launch into the review, or do
I
we want to talk about
no,
the background?
What we should do is we should just have silence for like 2 minutes and allow people to sit there and reflect upon their lives, and then they might actually understand the boredom that comes along with this movie.
And then I can walk in and go, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one character. First shot for you. You go.
Well, I like Spike Lee's movies. And I've always been a fan of Spike Lee through and through, despite the fact that his movies always have that very hard, harsh tone to them.
You mean the message of whites hate all
right.
black people?
So it's, you know, some people are uncomfortable watching that. I like that, because you know what? He's got a style, stick to it. You know, have your messaging, go with it. This one is only a Spike Lee movie in bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. And then there's these other weird bits and pieces that felt like it was like the Disney Channel version of Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. And that to me was a little too much. And it was just, it felt really hurried in like the first 20 minutes. They get all this story rolling and it happens really fast. I mean, you see it in the trailer where the guy shoots the guy in the bank and then they discover this crazy stone head. And then it takes them like 3 hours to explain what happened in the course of like a few days.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I just wanted to leave. It was bad. It was, yeah.
It was drawn long and drawn out, and like Malcolm X. In a way, it reminded me of Malcolm X, although Malcolm X is a better movie.
It was a much better movie.
There were parts of Malcolm X where you're just like, okay, you really could have trimmed this down from the length you had it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been conflicted with Spike Lee because I think some of his technique and his style is just absolutely brilliant. And you look at his earlier stuff like School Days and even Do the Right Thing, that where, you know, and She's Gotta Have It, even where he's like doing it on with for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
he does some incredibly innovative, cool things. He always is weighted down with issues, and he just doesn't rise above those. And I thought that he was kind of going in that direction with like 25th Hour and Inside Man. He seemed to be like going, hey, I actually want to try and not
do
just
some cool stuff.
Yeah, I just don't want to complain about race relations for another movie. And this one, he sort of tries to do both. He tries to rise out of it, but he's so weighted down. This, of course, because he was upset at the way African-American soldiers are depicted in historical movies like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then he makes this movie, and
he kind of picked the wrong African-American soldiers, because these guys, they weren't really winners.
They were like, they were insubordinate. They didn't take orders. They were cowards at times. They were
right.
sex fiends, people who just didn't do anything. They're sent there. They sort of get stuck behind enemy lines, and then they're given orders to do something, and they're kind of like, well, we're not going to do it. And then they sort of like stumble across something that, and they're like, well, we'll just use this. That it just they're like the worst soldiers ever depicted on the American movie screen. He's not doing himself any favors,
right? And I have a feeling that the story that this is based on is probably much better than the movie.
The book's probably better, but yeah. This is the other thing. It's the Italians are all upset about this because the survivors of the St. Anna massacre, which is sort of what this is wrapped around, are like, this is not how it happened, and this is not the motivations behind it,
right?
And so they have complained about it, and it's one thing for like somebody to be like, I'm offended at, you know, using the word retard in this movie. It's right. another thing to come in and have the people who survived a massacre go, yeah, you're not doing us justice. You kind of have to hang your head in shame on that one.
Right.
So
yeah, I don't think it's Spike Lee's best movie.
It's not. It's
definitely not.
He should have just done a war movie instead of making it an issue movie. If you're going to do a war movie, make it a war movie.
Right. And then let people interpret it how they're going to, you know, let people interpret it through their own eyes. Don't try and mix and match, I guess.
Yeah, it's the best. It tries at sometimes to be really patriotic, and then other times it's kind of like America sucks.
Right.
Because they don't treat us like, they treat us as second class citizens. I'd rather live in Italy.
Right. That
pretty much is a, like,
right.
A,
and
a
it's really, and it's like, it's really blatant. I mean, you could have gathered that without that little speech.
Yeah.
You know, you could have gathered that they felt that way sometimes.
So. They went real heavy handed. It was, it's not his best work.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, I'm going kind of sucks.
I'm going to say kind of sucks too. I'm not going to give it a full blown suck. I'll be nice. Yeah.
It has production value.
Yeah.
So, moving on.
Not as much as the next one does.
The next one's got all kinds of production value. And we are talking about Eagle Eye, in which Shia LaBeouf plays a slacker who is coerced into becoming a terrorist by a mysterious woman over the phone.
Hello?
The FBI will arrive at your apartment in 30 seconds. You must flee the premises.
Who is this? No, none of this is mine!
FBI! Get down on the floor!
You know you got the wrong guy, right?
Oh, obviously.
Somebody set me up.
Here's the thing, Jerry. You're in a load of trouble, son.
Time for your phone call.
We told you to run.
How'd you get on this phone? Who are you?
You have 10 seconds.
What the hell are you talking about?
I've also been coerced by a mysterious woman over the phone.
Not for terrorism's sake.
No.
That wasn't even a woman.
I didn't get to kill
anybody.
That was
me. That was me just prank calling you.
Man.
We have pictures. They'll show up on the internet. We sent them to Clay Aiken.
This sucks. Well, surprise. He's happy about it. But anyways, you can have first crack at Eagle
Eye. Can I have first crack? Okay.
Yeah.
This is one of those movies that if you kind of just go in and watch it just for the action and the excitement and do not think at all, turn off all brain function except sort of this like this passive...
Which, when I was at the movie, there was somebody in front of me who had no brain function and laughed like crazy through the movie.
Well, I mean, as an action movie, it's got some great action scenes in it. And,
some
and it
really
has,
cool car chases.
It's great car chases, and Billy Bob Thornton's great in the movie.
And he's got that like funny wit that he has.
But the problem is this movie is so far-fetched. Mm. I honestly cannot think of a movie to compare it to that is as far-fetched and goes as far out on the limb in such a leap.
Yeah.
I can't even explain what it is because I would spoil plot points and twists and stuff like that to explain to people, you know, it has something, for example, something happens, but they'd have to anticipate that would happen, but it kind of happens by accident. So how do you anticipate it if it was just, don't think when you see this movie and you'll like it.
Well, it really, you're right. If you don't think you'll like it,
comma.
There's a comma in there. but really my problem was I literally about 20 minutes into the movie started making a list of other movies that this had ripped off.
Like Get Smart?
You know, Get Smart I didn't even think of, but you got like The Matrix and this is mildly spoilerish, but I really felt 2001 A Space Odyssey. You'll see when you see the movie. You know, that Will Smith movie. You know, what was it?
Bad Boys.
Not Bad Boys.
That Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. 6 Degrees of Separation.
Enemy of the State. You know, it's got the Enemy of the State kind of vibe.
Oh, absolutely.
And really, you know, I saw a quote from another critic who said, you know, DJ Caruso, the director who also directed Disturbia, is on his way to becoming Michael Bay. And I get that reference. It had some very Michael Bay-esque action. But even Michael Bay, in my mind, how I picture him in all of his glory... some point during the production of this movie or during the script, and mind you, this is the guy who makes all the big robot movies. At some point, he would have went, wait a minute, that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, but also Michael Bay would have never made Disturbia. Imagine Disturbia made by Michael Bay.
Oh, it would have been awesome.
The house would have blown up 17 times.
Right, right. And a chainsaw would have come out.
I mean, I give DJ Caruso credit in the sense that he's doing a very different genre. Than just the suspense, which was Disturbia.
And visually, it's a good movie. I really think all the problems are in the absurdity that is in the story.
Get really, really drunk to see the movie.
If anyone has watched Fringe, which also comes from Alex Kurtzman, Robert Orsi, the writers, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say they are way out there. So
it was Fringe, yeah. Fringe,
yeah, Fringe. So I'm giving Eagle Eye a kind of sucks.
I'm going to give it a kind of rock simply because it's the best one out.
Fair enough. We'll be back.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And we're back. Just in case you missed us, I'm sure you did during the break and stuff. But it's time to move on to the Indie Spotlight. This is where we find out what kind of independent movies are coming out. And this one really isn't that independent. It started off as an independent movie back in January at Sundance, which is where I saw it.
Well, then it would be an independent movie.
But it really, the size of release doesn't feel like an indie. It's a bigger release.
Well, I still don't get where you're going with this.
Never mind. But the movie is Choke.
Are you trying to imply that you've propelled this thing to stardom?
I have, definitely. One, because I really liked it. And two, I don't know if you watch Comedy Central at all.
It was on more than Comedy Central.
But they've been playing this commercial. And see, now this commercial
standard TV ad. It's not just Comedy Central, man. It's on everything.
Right, it's on
TBS.
It's on Film School Rejects as well. I posted it on the website.
I know.
But it's a great TV spot because it's got a stripper in it. Mm. And she says, you know, my name's Cherry Daiquiri.
And it has a whore in it.
And it has me in it.
You.
I am in the commercial. I'm not whore. Not me, but my quote. Devious, sexy, and fun. And that's exactly what this movie is. It stars Sam Rockwell as a sex addict who is trying to pay for his mother's hospital bills, all while working in a colonial reenactment park.
I am the backbone of colonial America.
The tour guide.
I'm a historical interpreter.
Hi, Victor. How art thou?
That's funny.
She's an amazing woman, your mother.
She's getting worse. She never knows who I am anymore.
Who am I today?
Some guy named Fred.
Oh, you'll never change, Fred.
So now you want to sleep with your mom's doctor.
What time do you get off?
You don't have to do that.
What?
Try to have sex with me.
Oh, I really do.
And this is where it kind of goes off the deep end.
Okay. And there you have it. There's a clip. This is a really good movie.
So was this
I
devious?
So hard.
Deviant, sexy, and funny?
Devious, sexy, and fun.
Did you actually... Now
that
was
the
your
title of my review.
Really? Oh, okay. That's why it's such a good pull quote.
Yeah.
Because pull quotes are tough.
Yeah, it's tough to pull them out of a review. And that was a review I wrote in a rush at Sundance. Because, you know, when you're at Sundance, you see 30 movies in a week, and you write 30 reviews, and most of them are like 300 words, and they're gibberish.
And apparently the folks over at Slash Film were equal whores on this one.
Yeah, they whored a lot of people for this one.
Showing up everywhere.
Well, I think it was funny because we all...
Big shout out
like
to Slash Film. Yes.
Okay. Much love.
We love you.
But Choke was a lot like Hamlet 2, where we didn't see it until the end of the week. You know, because when I'm at Sundance, it's like Peter from Slash Film and I are like together the whole time, obviously.
Which is why neither of them got laid.
Probably.
Sorry, Peter. I'm blaming it all on Neil.
But there was, there was a ton of buzz, and finally, like towards the end of the week, we're like, all right, we have to see Choke before we leave, and it was literally one of the funniest movies I've seen all year because it's written by Chuck Palahniuk, the guy who did Fight Club,
the incendiary writer
of Fight Club, and it's just so. Devious is the word for it.
It was
because
sexy
it
and fun too.
It is about Sam Rockwell plays this sex addict who is his mom, played by Angelica Houston, is dying, and he's he's trying to cope with losing his mother slowly. And she's also she also has the Parkinson's where she can't remember anything, so she doesn't.
No,
even
that's
know
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's. Parkinson's is the shakes.
Is the shakes.
But she's got Alzheimer's, so she doesn't even know who she's talking to half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these weird flashbacks about his mother teaching him how to like steal stuff, and they were like Bonnie and Clyde rebels in his mind.
Let's
and
get all this.
It's really
weird. How much boobage is going on?
There's some serious boobage. There's
really. Do we get to see Cherry Daiquiri naked?
Maybe.
What is the point?
There's
I would rip theater seats out because I'm so sick of movies with strippers in them and
don't actually strip.
They get strippers in bikinis and then you go outside and there's naked people walking.
You're
around.
Going home to watch reruns of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
There's actually he goes into the Sex Addicts Anonymous and there's just this crazy Latin girl who they
I'm going to go out on a limb here. Mm-hmm. I will bet you that if you went to your random Sex Addicts Anonymous, it would not be as it's portrayed in the film.
Right. It would not be sexy at all.
It would be a bunch of creepy old dudes who've raped people.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like there wouldn't be like
I have a good feeling that that's what it would be. Yeah, because let me tell you, you wouldn't have to just to totally knock out going, I just love sex. Okay, well, let's go have sex. Yeah, it wouldn't become a singles bar. It would be like people that look like the ugly version of me,
right?
Eating like
the ugly version of you. I didn't know there was difference.
I'm the deviant, sexy, and fun version of myself.
Fair enough. So, but I will say this, it's got a lot of really fun performances in it, and it's got a lot of that, if you've seen any of the commercials, you know, any of the TV spots, it's got a lot of that real quick humor, and it is dark, and it has some depth to it, which I really appreciate.
Is it incendiary?
It is very incendiary, whatever that means.
Is this going to be, and I say this with all the love that I have for Hamlet 2. Mm-hmm. But is this going to be as big of a flop as Hamlet 2 was?
Probably. I hope not. Because, you know, it's being distributed by Fox Searchlight, who they do a very good job marketing their films.
Is there any chance that it's going to be on an Oscar list? Because then they'll send me the DVD.
I doubt it.
Because Fox Searchlight's really good at sending me that stuff.
I don't think it'll be on an Oscar list. It's not an Oscar caliber. It's really just kind of...
If they had, you know what, I think they should cross-pollinate the Oscars with the Adult Movie Awards so they could be like the best nude scene, the best jiggle boob scene.
This one, I don't know if I'm allowed to say my favorites, the most ridiculous scene in this movie.
Go ahead.
There's a scene that involves anal beads.
Wow.
That is absolutely hysterical.
You can call them thunder beads as they did in Maid of Honor.
All right, well, there's some thunder beads in this movie, and I thought that was very funny. It's just the way they're used.
Okay, how else? Well, okay. Now you're going to go see
the movie.
Now I'm curious because...
Because now I'm not going to tell you.
I know what they are, and I know what they do, but I can't think of any other way of using them that would be more ridiculous than the actual way of using them.
Well, there's also, even more fun, is there's also a scene where he's going... And he goes online and meets this girl who, you know, she's one of those women who gets off on being raped, like simulated rape.
Okay, again, I'm going to step in here and say I would be willing to bet that most of those women that you would meet online are guys that look like
And me. They're never going to look like the actress, who's a very familiar looking actress. But there's a point where he's got a knife and he's got pantyhose over his head and he's like getting ready to, she's like, hit me. And he's like, well, do you want me to use the knife? And she's like, no, if you hit someone with a knife, that's
called
stabbing.
I think I've seen that clip.
Hysterical. Yeah. That whole scene is just ridiculous because he's has no idea what he's doing trying to rape this woman. So.
Wow.
And it's funny, which is, you know, how many opportunities am I going to get to say that on the air?
Okay, well, probably no more.
Very awkward rape scene that's hilarious. So,
wow.
But if Choke's in your area, which it's in a lot of cities this week, go
see
it.
It's like in 400 and some screens.
Yeah, go see it, man. Dig it. I dig it. So.
I'll wait till I'm going to... See, I didn't see it. They did show it, but it happened to be... The screening was on a Thursday morning, and Thursdays are terrible for me. In terms of scheduling,
that's when you get your back waxed.
No, that's why I get my the rest of my sundaries waxed. No,
wow.
But I have a 4.5 month old child that I take care of during the day.
Oh right.
So
keep forgetting about that thing.
My baby, that paperweight that I have at home. So my normal babysitters that I can rely on happen to be busy on Thursdays. So right. Thursdays are terrible times, and I can't exactly walk into Choke with a 4.5 month old. I mean,
worse
I could.
Worse has been done, I'm sure.
I'll tell you, I've seen
worse.
Yeah.
But anyways, moving on to the box office. Hopefully Choke does well at the box office. Last week, though, it was Sam Jackson versus Dane Cook versus Ricky Gervais, and Ricky Gervais lost pretty
hardcore. Because
it was the best movie of the week.
It
easily.
Was. It was by far the best movie of the week.
Yeah. And we're talking about Ghost Town. Obviously.
And I did see it, and I thought it was really a clever movie. And one
Ricky
thing I
Gervais
said,
totally makes it work.
Well, and I said this too, when we were seeing another movie with Greg Kinnear. This week, Kirsten Dreyer Kramer was talking to us from Nights and Weekends. And I said, the problem that's facing is that it's like, it's too mainstream to be considered an art house film,
mm-hmm.
but it's got too much of those art house elements and delivery to really be considered a mainstream film. And it sort right. of falls in the middle, and that's a dangerous place for movies, and that's where some of my favorite art housey type movies are.
Right. Yep. And chokes like that. It's mainstream.
With more boobs.
Yeah, with way more boobs. Okay. Well, I don't know, way more boobs is the right answer.
There are no boobs in Ghost Town. How
there, much? There are more boobs in okay. Choke than in Ghost Town. But yeah, so Ghost Town definitely did not do very well. Finished 8th last weekend. 1 through 5 was Lakeview Terrace. Sam Jackson once again bringing him in. Yeah. Burn After Reading finished 2nd. Dane Cook and My Best Friend's Girl in 3rd. Igor and then Righteous Kill. So, I don't know, Sam Jackson. I mean...
It was Sam Jackson being his...
What are you going to do, man?
It's him playing his stock character.
Right. Yeah. So, and My Best Friend's Girl definitely deserved to not do well.
Well,
and
it's...
And it didn't do that well.
And I mean, think it's already... It's taking a quick decline.
It'll be dead this weekend.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
And this weekend, I would... Obviously, Eagle Eye's going to win.
Yeah, I don't think... I think this is the closest we'll get to the September blockbuster.
Yeah.
Because other than...
But it's going to struggle to make $100 million.
Yeah, it's not going to make a ton of money, but
it'll probably finish around 80.
Yeah, I mean it's, and you know what? Despite the fact that we kind of gave it the business during the review, it's probably one of the better options this weekend.
It's the best movie this weekend, but yeah, that's
not saying much because the Spike Lee's movie was really, really, really long and it felt longer.
Yeah,
and what was the other one we talked about?
Knights at Rodanthe.
Knights at Rodanthe, also pretty terrible.
Yeah,
and then Choke isn't playing everywhere.
Yeah, so. And the Lucky Ones, and even though the Lucky Ones are going to be struggling, ones. It's in very few theaters.
So. Right. So I think Eagle Eye, but I think Knights and Rodanthe is going to finish 2nd.
And then suddenly they squeaked Fireproof. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. I thought that was a Harrison Ford movie from like 6 years ago.
It literally showed up. But
that was
on
Firewall.
The, you know, a Firewall. It literally shows up on the release schedule today. I checked it like yesterday or earlier today. And then, like, 6 hours later, it was on the schedule.
I'm actually going to look that up on IMDb and see if it exists.
Yeah, but I think that.
They probably had a screening for it yesterday.
Eagle Eye is going to be in there. Yeah, I don't...
I think Eagle Eye is probably going to make $30 million this weekend.
Yeah, right around there. Miracle at St. Anna, though, it's going to stumble out of the gate. It's not even getting very good reviews.
Yep.
And it needs it.
Why didn't they screen this one for it? It stars... Fireproof stars Kirk Cameron.
Oh, that one! Isn't
sure,
that where he like won't kiss? Isn't that he like won't kiss anyone but his wife on screen? And so he doesn't. It's like it's a love story sort of, or it has a love story, and he doesn't kiss her.
Cameron finds way around self-imposed kissing ban. Yeah.
But then again, he will give oral sex in gay porno films. So I hear.
Fair enough. We'll be back. And we're back for the internet only segment, and thankfully it's the internet only segment because what the fuck, man? What was that at the end of the last segment? Kirk Cameron.
I've just tested the waters. This is my plan. I want to see how sound
you
the legal
see
structure
what gets us kicked off the radio.
Well, no, I want to see. I want to see what.
You want to see if Kirk Cameron's going to sue us?
I want to know if Kirk Cameron's listening to that because this is a true story. I wrote a review. And I misquoted Jeffrey Lyons.
Whose son is a douchebag.
Well, he's a douchebag. And I misquoted Jeffrey Lyons. And it was, I think, Pauline Kael. Or no, it was a local film critic who said this. I'm not even going to say what it was. But
a local
I misquoted.
Film critic who idolizes Pauline Kael?
And no, he idolized... this film critic idolized Woody Allen. I made some comment about when I was reviewing a Woody Allen movie. And... It was out there, and then suddenly I get an email from Jeffrey Lyons, and I refer
like
to
the real one,
the real honest guy, Jeffrey Lyons. I refer to him as pompous film critic. Jeffrey Lyons said, blah blah blah. He writes me an email, and he's like, "I never said this." And where do you get off calling me pompous? And so I went and I changed the review, and I let anybody in, and I just researched, and I'm like, okay, I apologize. I wrote him back and said I apologize, for misquoting.
But you're still a douche.
But I'm like, but that was a really pompous response.
Where do you get off calling me pompous?
But I really said I'm like, wow. I showed up on his radar. That's actually kind of cool because he got pissed off at me. I mean, he just Googled himself. But,
right.
But I'm waiting for Kirk Cameron to be like, sue these guys for saying that I do oral sex. I do not do oral sex on camera, just with dudes in the back seat.
Right, right. Well, I want to read this Kirk Cameron story now because, mm-hmm. I mean, I had not heard of this until now. And the story goes, it's from the WEN news service, WENN.
Oh, that powerhouse news station.
Yeah. And it says, Christian actor Kirk Cameron forced movie bosses to cast his wife, Chelsea, as a smooching stand-in for his new film, Fireproof, because he refused to kiss on his on-screen wife. In the movie, Cameron plays a firefighter battling to save his marriage to his wife, played by Aaron Bethea. But 37-year-old had made a vow to Chelsea, his wife of 17 years and the mother of his 6 children, Jesus, that he would never kiss another woman on or off screen, so she was brought onto the set for a romantic scene. And he says, it's a personal commitment I made to my wife, was his quote. Here's the problem with this.
She's black and the real actress is white.
No. Hollywood, they don't get middle ground. They don't get like normal. You know, there is no normal in Hollywood. They're either crazy orgy having.
It's either like Angelina Jolie,
yeah,
or
and they're
Kirk
like
Cameron.
Having sex with everyone, or they have people like Kirk Cameron who are like, I'm gonna kiss no one and make a big deal out of it so that my movie makes $20 the box
office. He's doing it because he's like, I have to have justification for why I have no career.
Right.
What has he been in? I mean, what has he been doing? Obviously, he's been having sex with his wife. He's crapping out 6 kids.
Six
with him.
Kids. I don't know. I've never seen his wife.
I'm sure she's hot.
I mean, I would hope she's hot.
I'm sure she's hot. Why would you hope?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I hope he's married sake. To a cross between Sandra Bernhardt and Rosie O'Donnell. That would be
because that would make the story even better.
It's like, I'm only going to kiss that beast.
Not once you've kissed her, you just can't go back.
Either that or he's got like herpes of the mouth and doesn't want to pass it along.
And he didn't
want to
say anything.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to get
That's out. My theory. I'm sticking to it. Kirk Cameron has herpes of the mouth.
Because
he got it from his wife.
No, he got it from some dude.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Oral sex in the gay porno. They go down to Brazil to do those. Do you know
that? They do?
Yeah. That's actually, by the way, that is actually how AIDS usually gets creeps into the porno
through
community.
The gay people.
Well no, because what happened, you remember a couple years ago?
Before.
I think I told this to you.
Back in the 90s, they were talking about the gay people.
Well, no, but they did this whole thing where it was like 3-4 years ago, there was like suddenly this explosion of AIDS. These couple.
It was super AIDS.
No. You don't even know what I'm talking about. It was
no,
like these,
I have no idea what you're
these
talking
adult film, this the adult film actor got tested positive for AIDS because they have a very stringent policy
right,
of
testing.
Getting tested.
I've witnessed it.
Oh, good for you. Well, that's awesome.
I'm on set with Jenna Hayes all the time.
Yeah, right.
What? I'm like
on set in the behind the scene video. You're her fluffer?
No, I'm her friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your friend. She cries on her shoulder when she breaks up with the guy.
I'm the one she needs when she's done with the porno.
Why? So she can
because
cuddle?
No other man could obviously do it the way I can.
You make no sense whatsoever.
Can we move on?
You and Peter from Slash Film going out with Jenna Hayes, right?
Whatever, man. Whatever works.
No, I want to talk more about Kirk Cameron.
I don't think there's anything more to say about Kirk
there's
Cameron.
There's one more thing that do you know
his
that
his movie
he,
comes out this week. Go,
you know he
fight, go nuts.
You know
it.
The whole thing on Growing Pains. His girlfriend Julie McCullough on the show was a
Did
Playboy
he kiss
model.
Her? That's
no.
BS.
Well, before he got married, no, he got her fired because she appeared in Playboy. And do you know how
Who
they
cares?
Do you know how she found out she was fired from the show?
Mm.
She like turns on the radio or watches TV, and they're like, Julie McCullough was fired from
awesome.
Growing Pains, and she's like, what? And then she had a commitment. She had a contractual commitment to like do like. 2 more episodes to write her out.
That would be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and she's hot. Wow, she's hot.
God,
she's hot now.
Damn you, Kirk Cameron.
Damn you.
Anyways, so there's that.
Okay.
Let's do our list now. We got a top 10 list this week. It's my list.
Okay, fine. Your list.
I brought my own list this week because we do BYOL every once in a while.
I had a top 8 list.
What was your top 8 list?
The top 8 of obvious headlines after...
Oh
Clay
yeah,
Aiken
that
is gay.
That was a pretty good one, and let's read that one first.
You want me to do that
the,
one?
The
first?
Top 8 most obvious hot headlines
after Clay Aiken. Is gay.
Yeah, in lieu of the Clay Aiken.
Number one. Well, the first one is America likes superhero movies.
Yeah, which they do.
Martin Scorsese planning new gangster film.
Sure.
Gas prices expected to increase.
Which apparently is wrong.
Well, no, it dipped, but it's dipped.
I mean,
down
eventually
like,
they're going to have to decrease.
It's like I bought gas today. It's like $3.50. That to me is not a decrease. That's like a bump down. You know, it's like, it's just people are going,
it's
like, oh,
less than suck.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like people are like going, oh, well, it's awesome. It's 350. That'd be like going, oh, great. Shove that baseball bat up my ass. Cause you were going to shove a 2x4 up there. I mean, I guess if I had to choose.
The baseball bat has a round end.
Well, at least you could like lube it up. But there's no lube in the world that is going to make a 2x4 feel okay going up there.
Move on with your list.
Anyways, Kevin Smith tells dick jokes in his new film.
Which, this is going to be the Kevin Smith segment.
Spike Lee wants more focus on African-American history.
He should just stop making movies that...
Make movies like Inside Man without a little bit of the
I'm totally down with it. He could have made a documentary about that subject and it probably would have been way better.
Yeah. Joan Rivers has too much plastic surgery. Michael Jackson is a pervert. Rosie O'Donnell is fat.
For now.
Gary Busey has big teeth. Well, she's going to be fat. She's going to be fat until she dies. And then like maybe she won't be fat because
she'll
worms
decompose.
Will eat her.
Yeah. And Gary Busey the number one, does have fat teeth.
Oh my gosh. Huge teeth.
Huge teeth.
And then Heath Ledger is still dead.
Which, oddly enough, could have been a headline because people literally did think that he wasn't dead up to like the release of the movie. They're like, he's not. There were people out there who were like, it's a big publicity stunt. Mm. What kind of sick, twisted publicity stunt that would have been is just beyond my.
What would be great is if he gets a posthumous Oscar and then he walks on stage to his cousin.
Yeah, see, there are people that think there are people that seriously think that's going to happen, and. Yeah.
And there were people who didn't think Clay Aiken was gay.
That's also true. All those, what do they call them? Claymates?
You know, yeah,
Claymates. Claymation.
What I find so funny about that story is like now when, because there's tons and tons of articles about him on entertainment sites.
Right.
And they always pull pictures. And now everyone's picking the gayest picture they can find. Because right. Normally it's just him. And now they're like, they got him in like crazy outfits and shit
right.
like that.
Him standing next to Prince. I don't know. Anyways, my list is a little bit more movie related, I think.
Hey, mine was related.
It is, you know, we got fall coming up. It was the 20, whatever was the, what was it, the solstice, whatever they call it.
The fall.
Where fall started.
The first, equinox.
The equinox.
It's the equinox in the fall and spring, solstice in the winter and summer.
Sure, fair enough. Yes. But we also, so fall is officially started, summer is officially over, as if we didn't know that from the movie schedule.
From the shit movie releases that we've had.
But there are still plenty of movies coming out this year worth seeing, so I put together a list of the 10 remaining must-see movies of 2008. Now, I must preface this, I'm not saying that all of these movies are going to be good, I'm just saying these are the ones you kind of have to see between now and the end of the year. So we'll start with something that falls in under the have to see, and it's Twilight, because you know it's become this weird cultural phenomenon thing, and it's akin to Harry Potter, despite the fact that I think it looks like, you know, something you would see on ABC Family. Okay. I still think you should go and see it because it's going to be one of those movies that a lot of people are talking about.
It's
especially
going to
14-year-old girls.
It's going to send Summit Entertainment into a tailspin. Because they're not going to know what to do with
it. They already have no idea what to do with it.
This is the Twilight is going to be to Summit Entertainment the way the Blair Witch was to Artisan, where just kind of like it's so screwed up their studio because they didn't know what to do with a big release.
Right. They didn't know what to do with all the money.
Well, and then they tried to do more follow-ups and it was just a disaster.
Yeah. Number 9 is The Spirit. Once again, just one of those movies you have to see. But this one you have to see because it's going to be such an epic train wreck.
It's like in the Zach and Miri trailer where he's like, I've got Rosie O'Donnell's sex tape. He's like, why aren't we fucking watching
that right now? So The Spirit, it looks terrible. Everything we saw at Comic-Con, I mean, literally I've never seen more people walk out of a panel at Comic-Con than The Spirit this year. And you know, it's probably gonna go down in history as potentially one of the worst comic book adaptations ever, sadly for Frank Miller. But why wouldn't you want to go see it? Why wouldn't you want to go see it? Because it's crazy. It's like PG version of Sin City. So number 8 is Rock and Roll, because I think this is going to absolutely rock.
And roll.
And roll. Because it's Guy Ritchie's return to a Guy Ritchie movie. You know, he made that weird
Swept Away
thing with Madonna. And
they tried to make a baby, but then they had to go steal one.
After the honeymoon was over, apparently, Richie got back to his senses and is making a movie that it's a London gangster film, and why not? So,
according to Gerard Butler, his agent said that that's the most like him, his character.
Which sounds a lot. The movie looks like a lot of fun, and seeing the guys, talk at Comic-Con about it. You know, you got Jeremy Piven, you got Idris Elba, who's been in all of Guy Ritchie's movies, and
Rosie O'Donnell,
Gerard Butler. It looks like they had a ton of fun making it. So if they, you know, I mean, if the movie itself turns out to be half as fun as it sounds like it was.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun making DC Cab back in the 80s.
Fair enough.
Because they had a cocaine budget.
Yep. The next one is...
Oh, that's exactly what I think about this movie when I saw the trailer.
Case of Benjamin Button. Brad Pitt starring David Fincher directing.
Do you know what?
It's really long.
The Curious Case is, how do we keep people awake in this movie?
I've heard it's painfully long.
It's like 70 hours.
But Brad Pitt plays a man who is born old and ages in reverse.
You know, they did that on Mork and Mindy.
So unoriginal. Number six is Choke. We talked about Choke already. Literally, I think it's one of the funniest movies of the year.
Bijou Phillips is in it?
Yeah.
Is she naked?
I think she's got a couple sex scenes.
I don't know
if she gets naked. She's got a really funny.
If you watch Desperate Housewives, like Eva Longoria, like has sex in her entire underwear.
She plays one of the other performers at the Colonial Park where he works as a reenactor.
Does she do lap dances?
No, there's a pretty funny scene that involves her, Sam Rockwell, and a barn. But I think Sam Rockwell.
Having Sam Rockwell involved.
Sam Rockwell is the only one who takes his pants off.
So. Ah.
But we'll see. I don't know.
This movie has no class.
But she's in it, and it's very fun. Number five is Body of Lies, the only Iraq War movie to make it on there. But it's more of the war on terrorism, crazy spy shit movie.
It's an action movie.
And it's Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio. And it's written by the guy who did The Departed.
And it's not the one with Kate
Winslet. You know that you're going to get at least a decent film out of it. So it's, you know, it's... one of those you don't want to miss. Number four is one that's getting a huge critical response, is The Wrestler.
You know, you got a picture of The Wrestler on the Film School Rejects page.
Yeah.
And Mickey Rourke looks like...
he's like 900 years old.
He kind of looks like you left him in water too long. He's all puffy.
Apparently, he gives a really good performance in this. Darren Aronofsky directed it. And, you know, Darren Aronofsky's been so... he's just had such an interesting career, being up and down with Requiem and then
Piece of crap like The Fountain.
The Fountain. And it's been so... but this is... it just seems like it's really kind of off kilter for both him and Mickey Rourke. And I've heard that it's an absolutely brilliant film. Yeah. So number three is The Road, which not a lot of people have heard about. But
I'll see anything with Viggo Mortensen and Guy Pearce's gay men.
You got me off track there. But if you remember back to last year, the movie that won Best Picture, Best Screenplay, it was written by Cormac McCarthy. It was No Country for Old Men, obviously. This is adapted screenplay.
Oh, okay.
The Coen Brothers one. So this is another Cormac McCarthy novel, which I'm told by a reliable source that the novel of The Road was much better than No Country for Old Men. So I'm interested to see how it translates. It's got a good cast. Viggo Mortensen, Charlize Theron, Robert Duvall, Guy Pearce.
It?
Some new guy.
It's going to suck.
So we'll see how that goes. Number two is not directed by a new guy, directed by an old friend of the show.
We interviewed him like last year, and you sat next to him in The Dark Knight.
And hung out with him after The Dark Knight. And talked about The Dark Knight.
If you came and like walked up to him and said, "Hey, Kevin," he'd be like, "Who the hell are you?"
No, I think he'd, I don't know. Who knows?
He would be polite. Weird. He wouldn't say, "Who the hell are you?"
It was funny it's funny how, you know, if you meet people and you work in the industry or around the industry and then you see these people every once in a while, it's weird who remembers you. Like Milo Ventimiglia, the guy from Heroes.
He knows us, doesn't he?
We had met at Comic-Con 2 years ago, and then I went out for that Pathology thing, which oddly enough comes out on DVD this week. And he literally knew exactly who I was, knew my name, remembered. I mean, we met for like 10 minutes.
I met Milo at the Comic Con. He has that vibe to him that he'd remember a lot of people.
Yeah, so, you know, it's odd. But anyways, this Kevin Smith's movie is Zach and Miri Make a Porno. It stars Seth Rogen, Elizabeth Banks, and Craig Robinson. Do not forget about Craig Robinson. He's the guy from The Office. The big black guy.
Oh, okay.
But he, Craig Robinson is... absolutely hysterical and very underused in The Office, but he looks like he's got a much bigger part in this movie.
Wait, is he the older guy or is he younger?
I guess he's older.
I don't watch
The Office.
In his 30s. I don't watch The Office. You know, though, and I've
what
said
else
this
was Craig? Hold on, now, because this is going to bother me if you don't
I
know
can go on my
about.
Rant while you go look this up.
Okay.
And I've said this before, and I hope Kevin Smith's listening, because damn it, I have my voice. I'm one of the influential voices, most influential voices.
Ever.
In the media. Ever, yeah. Of anything, you know. There better be boobs in this movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got Katie Morgan in this movie. You got Tracy Lords in this movie.
Tracy Lords isn't going to show her tits.
But Katie Morgan.
Katie Morgan, you can't... I mean, it's impossible to not show her boobs because they're so huge. They're bigger than her head.
They're bigger than her shirt.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, though, like, Orgasmo, if you saw Orgasmo, it was about the porno industry. And they had cameos of, like, people like Julie Ashton and Chasey Lane, some of these people that are big names in the industry. They weren't naked in the movie. Right. And, I mean, I kind of get that because... That's what they do. That, you know, if they're going to do a cameo, it's almost like it's almost crass to ask the porno star to take off her clothes in a regular mainstream show.
In a real movie.
Bizarre enough, but like, it's about making pornos, so there better be nudity in this movie, or I will come to Kevin Smith's house and I will throw a dildo at him.
Okay, the movie almost got an NC-17.
Well, so did Clerks, but it has no nudity in it.
No, that's true.
Except for there, actually, he shows a spread of a Hustler magazine, so you can see the vagina.
Yeah, I don't.
But that's not why it got Clerks got an NC-17 because of language. Like it's like the Aristocats or Aristocrats. Aristocats was a G-rated Disney movie.
The Aristocrats was one movie about one joke.
Yes. Which had no nudity,
but Craig Robinson. Remember Knocked Up when they went to the club. The guy at the door at the club, and he's like, "You're old and you're fat." And
no.
All right, whatever. I can't win this with you.
Okay.
Because you don't. But Craig Robinson, just remember that name because he's absolutely hysterical and he looks very funny.
Okay.
Now he's the one in the trailer for Zach and Miri who's interviewing all the porn stars. We watched the trailer.
That's Seth Rogen.
No, that's not true. It's the other guy.
You don't know anything about movies.
Anyways, number one is Quantum of Solace,
the bloodiest Bond film ever.
Is the new Bond film. And we've been writing so much about the new Bond film. And I will say this. It's funny how this parallel kind of came to me. How, you know, back in 2005, 2006, there were two different franchise iconic characters that got rebooted. One was Batman. The other one was James Bond. In 2006, we had Casino Royale, brought Bond back, a new, fresh start. And it was awesome. And then this year, they both get sequels that are supposedly bigger, bloodier, better. I have a feeling it's going to turn out similarly. Now, this movie is obviously not going to make $500 million. But I really feel like from everything we've seen from Quantum of Solace, it is going to take this Bond franchise to the next level.
Yeah. Although the Bond reboot wasn't. I mean, it wasn't like the Batman reboot was
like completely
Joel
different.
Schumacher killing the franchise.
But then again,
and then 15 years later,
it was kind of close in the sense that the Pierce Brosnan Bond movies were a little like.
No, they did Batman Die Another Day. The thing is, Die Another Day was in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And then Casino Royale was 2006.
Right.
So it was only four. It was just like, they're like, okay, let's just restart it.
Right.
And they did get kind of over the top and crazy.
It wasn't like they did a movie and then it killed the will of people to want to watch the character like Batman and Robin did.
Well, it wasn't like License to Kill, which came out in the early 90s and with Timothy Dalton. And it just wasn't a very good one. And it wasn't until they did GoldenEye that kind of reboot that kind of put Bond back on the successful track. But you know why Bond movies are so? I don't know if I explained this to you. Do you know why, at least the ones with Pierce Brosnan, these movies would have like $130 million budgets and they'd make in the States about $140, $150 million.
And then overseas they'd make like billions of dollars.
Well, they'd make well overseas, but the reason is like I think I read it that it was I think it was the one before Die Another Day, like The World Is Not Enough, was like a $135 million budget, and it had $120 million
where the product placement. Yeah,
so they basically made a Bond movie for $15 million.
Yep, and I think they're doing the same thing this time. They got a lot of sponsorships. But you know what? I don't really even notice it in a Bond
Do you know
movie.
What the big sponsorship for Quantum of Solace is?
Coke Zero?
No, not at all. It's the line of gay porno films from Kirk Cameron.
really?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what the double O's
like
are.
Bond
the little buttholes.
Wow. But anyways, the James Bond movie out. It's out November 14th, and that is, in my mind, the movie of the rest of the year. I don't even know. I can't even deal with you right now.
Oh.
up here on Fat Guys the Movies. If you heard the internet only segment, I don't even feel like issuing an apology this week.
I'll apologize.
Because
Kirk Cameron.
You really did kind of take it off the deep end. Well, I mean, if you listen to the last segment on the radio, you finished it with the
Kirk Cameron line. Yeah.
So that conversation, if you only heard us on the radio, continued well into the internet only segment. But we are in the final segment, our home stretch, and that means it's time to do the DVD roundup. Fun times. And get a couple notable releases that we probably won't mention. Sex and the City came out on DVD this week.
Sex and the City and the other one that
Leatherheads.
Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Oh, well, no, that's...
Oh, is that... I'm sorry. Don't... just rewind.
But Leatherheads also came out on DVD. Yes. But neither one of those made the cut.
And Pathology came out, which I liked.
Right. Which I didn't like, but there's still an audience out there for it.
You should tell your friends at Lakeshore Entertainment that I like Pathology, so...
They should
question me about their movies and not you. How to market it
next time. But anyway, speaking of you... What's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the Peanuts Deluxe Holiday Collection.
You would.
Well, you know what? Being a child of the 70s, I remember every year, Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. What?
Sorry. What? I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I'm not going to be crass in here. No. Every year, you know, on Halloween, we'd watch, CBS would run, or ABC, whatever the network was. They'd watch Great Pumpkin, you watch Christmas. It's a box set. It has the...
It's got them all.
Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. It's got its Thanksgiving. And then it's got the Christmas special. And then each one also has kind of like its sequel.
Right.
Like another Peanuts episode, which usually they're not that good.
Right.
They're just stuck in there.
I've got a good recommendation line for this. If you are someone who thinks that in the future you will have sex that will produce children, you need to buy this.
Okay. You want to know what my revelation...
I brought it down to its most basic level.
Since we're going off into tangents now, I have to tell you what my revelation line this week is.
Oh, no.
It's about Megan Fox.
Yes.
I said this to my wife, actually. I go, Megan Fox is the argument for objectification of women.
And you know what's funny about Megan Fox is that if you watch some of the promo material for the movie we're going to talk about next week, How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, she gets the joke.
Well,
she's totally in on it.
Well, yeah, but she is just such a bad actress. She's like getting the date to the prom with the totally gorgeous girl, but then you have to suffer through dinner before you
but
actually...
But it ends well.
I don't know, but...
hope is that it ends well.
Film School Rejects had the thing where it had her audition tape from Transformers.
Yeah, she's bad.
And I'm watching this, and then they're cutting to all her dialogue scenes in Transformers. I'm like, wow, without her just standing over that car looking totally hot, having her talk... It was good there are no sharp objects because I would have stabbed myself in the face. What are your picks on DVD?
I got two this week. One is the Godfather Restore Collection because I got it on Blu-ray and it's absolutely gorgeous. I can't say that I saw the Godfather when I was out in theaters, but I remember the last...
You weren't in existence when it was
right, the last DVD release, and it was very dark and very, very yellow. I mean, the movie has that golden tone to it.
Well, but they're going off of the transfer from the videotape.
Right. And but it just didn't... I'm talking the first DVD, yeah.
It was... A lot of times they strike it off the master.
But this one is fully restored. It looks pretty darn good. And, you know, I had never really sat down and watched them in a row. And I still didn't. I did it over a couple of days. But, you know, seeing them 3 days in a row was pretty cool.
Wow.
Also, Run, Fat Boy, Run, which I thought was pretty funny. Very underestimated movie. Simon Pegg.
Who's not fat.
Who is very awesome.
But not fat.
In a lot of ways.
He's not fat.
He's a really nice guy, too.
He's not fat.
And I agree, he's not fat. But he plays a relatively chubbing kind of guy.
Out of shape.
So, yeah. And then the stinker.
Deception.
Yes.
Hugh Jackman.
This was one of those movies that was like billed as... really sexy and then wasn't as sexy. Like I needed Michelle Williams to like take her clothes off.
There was not enough nudity in this movie for as much as
if there would have been a lot of nudity, it would have been...
Oh yeah. Because it also had Rachel, what's her name?
Rachel Nichols?
No.
And it also had
the other hot chick from Transformers was like a bit part.
Oh, Rachel Taylor. Rachel Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah, there you
go. Sweet. And review wrap up time. So we'll run through these. I'd say we'll go in reverse. We'll start with the lucky ones.
Oh, it's just got to suck.
We didn't see, but it's definitely going to suck. Knights in Red Anthony, Kevin saw this one.
Sucked.
Choke, I saw this one. Totally rocks.
I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, I think you should. The Miracle at St. Anna, I don't know, man.
Well, I said kind of sucks. You said kind of sucks.
I'm saying kind of sucks. I was leaning towards totally suck, but I don't know if I can do that to Spike Lee.
Well, for me, they're I don't know.
Anyways, and Eagle Eye, I think, was the only one we really...
It wasn't much of a disagreement.
Disagreed on the grade, but not really on the overall. I said it kind of sucks.
I say it kind of rocks simply because it's the best one out there right now.
It's a Michael Bay ripoff.
Although I haven't seen Choke.
Yes. And then next week, we've got all kinds of fun... It'll be a roller coaster next week because
it's a lot of long named movies.
We have the likes of Beverly Hills Chihuahua. We also have Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, which I hear good things about. Blindness, which I'm told is also very good.
I can't wait to see Blindness.
How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, which looks very funny. Flash of Genius, which we already saw. We'll talk about that next week. And An American Carol, which is
we're not going to get a chance to see,
but it'll be an interesting discussion, I'm sure. Yeah. So, if you'd like to get a hold of us in between this week, right now, and next week. You can,
or later, if you want to,
or at Christmas,
you want to send us a gift.
Yeah, fatguysinthemovies.com. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. People are emailing us, so you better get on this bandwagon.
That's right, Kirk Cameron's lawyers are going
to
email
us before we have too many emails and we won't be able to get to yours.
Until we just start ignoring them.
Yes,
that's when you know that we'll make it big, big time, baby.
So
I'm the wild card.
Yeah, until then, whatever. Oh, we're going to get emails about that one.